Dominic.
Part RC.
We're outside the Casbah with some of the members of Viv Geyer.
My name's Dave. I'm the handsome singer and all-round person of Viv Geyer. And to the left of me is the gorgeous
Johnny Hooker.
What do you do?
I'm the drummer and joker.
States, you guys have kind of been pegged as the band to look out for 2007. You've been mentioned in Entertainment Weekly. How does it feel to have that sort of tag follow you? Is it a lot of pressure to live up to?
Not really. I mean, we get a lot better received in America than we do in England for some reason. I don't know why that is, but we don't really put any sort of pressure or expectations on us. We just sort of do what we do and just get on with it and have some fun. That's sort of the main reason we're in a band, really. So we don't really let it, you know, get to us. Does it get to you, Johnny?
No.
Okay.
The drummer, man of few words.
Yeah.
Right, so tell us how you guys, there's five of you in the band, how did you all get together?
We got together through, there's a website in Leeds, it's called Leeds Music Scene, and it's kind of a forum for everything cool in Leeds, and there's a lot of cool bands in Leeds at the moment, so it's quite a cool site, there's a lot of traffic and a lot of things going on. And on that they have kind of, it's almost like an online dating for musicians, and we just, Dave and Zane got together first, they hooked up and then we kind of tagged along and it all started from there, so yeah. We'd never actually met each other. It's not like we went to school together or anything. We just got together through the internet, which is a little unusual, I think, isn't it?
Is it a little sad? I don't know.
No, it doesn't make us sad.
Doesn't it? It's got a really cool site, though, yeah.
Yeah, but all the bands will be doing it in, like, 15 years' time. Yeah. We're just ahead of it. Yeah,
it's just Craigslist here.
Yeah, exactly. Because you get those bands now, they don't even, play together. They just, like, hook
send
up
music over the internet.
Yeah, over the internet and practice online, and then they meet together in some crazy city to do their first gig. So we're just, like, we're the forerunners of that.
You guys actually, I mean, what I noticed here, we're at the Casbah, and your sound's actually bigger than the Casbah room, I think. I mean, you guys have a really big sound, and I think it reminds a lot of us of Radiohead, for example. And have you felt, or have you heard that comparison before, and do you kind of feel like when you play in a bigger venue, maybe back home, it just feels a little different than here when you're playing smaller venues?
Yeah, definitely. We do. Our sound is probably a little bit more epic than some. This is a great venue, by the way. I'm not going to diss it at all. What a great place, and we're so proud to be here. But we do possibly need a slightly bigger stage and a slightly bigger venue for our sound, because it is epic. And that's one of the, you mentioned Radiohead there. They're not the band that we're trying to sort of emulate, but they're a band that we all respect as musicians in this band. So it's certainly, if you mix that with a little bit of, I don't know, Arcade Fire and
Elbow,
U2, The Doves, those kind of big arena sized bands, that's what we're trying to go for.
All right, well, as musicians, is there a moment in your history or in your past where you, like, just realized, I'm pretty good at this, I'm going to make it into a career?
We're still waiting for that. I don't know. There's been a couple of sort of high points with gigs we did. We did a gig with XFM in England, which is a big radio station, and we did a gig with Goldfrapp, and it was a pretty big... 2,000 people. And that was sort of, you know, about a year or so ago. And, you know, we'd hit the whole crowds. And that's when we sort of all turned around and went, you know, we could actually do this, you know what I mean?
We did a show with Love as well. Can you remember that?
Yeah.
That was our first proper gig in Leeds. And we just turned up to the venue not expecting much, and there was like 1,000 people there, and we literally just walked onto the stage and wet our pants and thought, oh my god, maybe we could do this, because we sold about 300 CDs that night.
And, we kept walking around in the crowd, and everyone would come up and getting our autographs and all this kind of stuff and buying our CDs. And then we'd go around the corner, we'd wait about a minute, we'd go, right, come on, let's do it again. It was really sad. bad. I can't even believe I'm admitting to this.
Edit.
Edit. Yeah. Edit that bit out. That's probably it. Yeah.
So you've been. This is your first time over here in the States, and you've been traveling with Transfer. Tell us a little bit about that. How's it been going around the West Coast?
There's just two words for Transfer: party. Of not even animals, party machines. They're just crazy. I mean, in England, we do a lot of gigs near us because we're up in the north of England, so we'll sort of travel, you know, to Manchester, which is about an hour away, do the gig, perhaps have a drink, go home, all tucked up nicely in bed for midnight, feed the cat, la 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 la, watch whatever recorded Lost or whatever on telly, go to bed. But over here, these guys, they just put a party till 6-7 in the morning, get 2 hours sleep, sort of asleep half off a sofa or something, and then they'll get up at 9 o'clock, open a bottle of beer and just drink through the day. And the first sort of couple of days we try to keep up, the first week really, but now we're like just hollow shells of men, aren't we? We're just sort of trying to look at any excuse to sort of run away and drink a glass of water and things like this. They're really good. I think the thing that we've learnt from them is they just put on an amazing live show. I mean, sometimes, I'm not saying we're lazy, but sometimes we don't go completely as intense as we could do. And watching them, they've really sort of made us step up, haven't they, and sort of looked at our live performance, because their guys are incredible.
In the UK, we haven't played with... Well, we've probably played with a handful of bands that we thought, fucking hell, they're really amazing. And Transfer are definitely quite close to the top of that list. So it's been really cool. And they're just all-around nice guys. Anything we've wanted, they've given us.
Full of positive energy, aren't they?
Good positive energy. And they say dude a lot.
Dude.
Yo, dude.
So coming to San Diego is a bit of a journey for you guys. I'm just wondering if you have any tips for international travel, and what do you do on the plane ride over?
Well, on the first plane ride, they had this game on it. It's in front of the, there's like a little telly with the videos and all that, and it's like trivia pursuits, and you play against everybody in the plane.
We're proud to say that we were the top five people.
And for about 2 hours, we were playing it, and you'd sort of get a question wrong, and it'd show you who's, you know, 23F has just got it right, and he'd sort of look around like that, and like, and we kept playing it. Delta Airlines. It was great. It had like about 100 films you could watch. Loads and loads of music and all this kind of stuff all built in with it. So we did that on the way over.
It got very competitive.
Yeah, we got really sad, actually.
And I'll say it so that you don't come across as a bit.
Go on.
But Dave got the second highest score on Delta Airlines ever.
Ever, yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. And that's probably been the highlight of my career to date. Driving around, we just sleep, don't we, really?
Yeah.
We're trying to catch up with the sleep that Transfer have deprived us of. I think that's probably it, yeah. But then my tip is probably get a car with lots of leg room, because we're all like tall guys, and our legs are up behind our necks, aren't they, most of the time?
Yeah. What?
Say yeah.
What did you say that?
To say yeah.
Our legs are up behind our necks.
Yeah, looks like that.
All right.
I can't do it, but cramped.
Okay, yeah.
Just say yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
What's been one of your favourite songs to play live on the tour here?
Actually, probably Fallen. Which is really weird, because before we came out, we weren't nailing it that well. And we were kind of like, oh, we're sick of playing that song. It's been with us quite a long time. It was our debut single, and that was released May last year. So we've kind of been gigging it since then. And so there is probably a little bit of fatigue had come into the song. But for some reason, probably...
Well, everyone knows it.
Yeah, probably because a lot of the American crowd have latched onto that. And requested it a lot and really gone berserk in it, so we've kind of fed off that energy a little bit, and it seems to have gone from being the one that we were a little bit worried about to being the one that we're absolutely loving. So
when your hope is gone and you can't fly anywhere, and you feel you've lost it all,
Seattle is a radio show, KEXP, and they play Fallen quite a lot on that. A lot of people come up to us, and it was that thing that when Johnny first starts playing the all the crowd's like, "Hooray!" And it's just like, oh my God, they actually know the song. Whereas you can go like, you know, 2 hours down the road or something like Birmingham in England, and you know, they never heard it. So it's very surreal.
Your second single, The Secret. How has that one been a lot of fun to play, and what's the crowd reaction to that one?
I don't think we played it, have we? But there's reasons for it, because I normally play electric guitar, and we couldn't get the electric guitar and the amps over because they only had so many things.
We were only allowed one guitar each on the flight.
So I had to leave my electric, and I couldn't really play it on acoustic guitar because it's a really heavy song. So.
That you'd like to get off your chest right now?
What's a good? What can we give you? How about somebody on the
temperamental.
Somebody on the tour bus today couldn't hold their toilet and had to do it in a plastic bottle. But who it was is a secret. Guitarist.
Well, it's not really a secret because you can just like find out who's got stains on their pants because they couldn't get it in the bottle very well.
So we
had to throw away 2 pillows and a blanket. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
That's a good secret for you.
And he's called Johnny and it's not me.
And his surname's Mulroy.
Yeah.
He'll love us for that.
We've got pictures if you want them, actually.
Yeah, we'll put them on there.
Yeah. It's a video podcast, it would be up, right?
That'd be great, yeah.
The American music scene is notoriously difficult to break into, really, and also just the crowds are notoriously more difficult than what's seen over in Europe and probably in the UK as well, as far as being accepting of music. How have you found the crowds here to be?
Just amazing. Obviously, you've never been to London to a gig yet, because that is notoriously difficult, and they're real bitches. So
if you go to a gig in London, they all just sort of sit there with their arms crossed, staring at you, and they'll sort of finish a song, and they might, if it's really good, just do a little clap. But if not, they'll just keep staring at you, just get on with it.
Trying to intimidate.
Horrible place.
No, it's been really amazing. We did our first gig in Sacramento, and. We kind of knew it was a little bit different after that first gig, just because like we didn't expect there to be anyone there, but there was like 50, 60 people that had heard us and were just giving us lots of love. So that was a good start, really. So yeah, I don't think American crowds are hard. Or maybe we're just charmed.
Maybe we're better suited to American music, perhaps. Yeah, I don't know.
USA!
Have you got any new songs that you've been playing on the tour that will be on the next album?
Well, we've just, it's going to be our debut album, actually, because we've only put EPs out so far, EPs and singles. A new song called Rhombus Suit, which is like the second or third last song from tonight, wasn't it? Was it the last song but one?
Yeah, second last song.
Second last song.
Turn down the noise in your
cool, that's gone down really well. The last song we played tonight, Long Way Down, is a song that we sort of an early demo, and we've just sort of come back to it and started playing it again and sort of rocking it out, and people are really enjoying that. So probably those two are probably the two songs that we've introduced, and the first song, Scanners, but that's on our EP and stuff, so probably those three. What about you, Johnny?
So I just wanted to go back to what I said about Fallen, really. Songs seem, particularly in Vibgaio, we seem to, they have a lifespan, and we'll play them and love them, and then we might go off them a little bit. As with any musician, they get tired of playing the same songs over and over again, so we kind of just try and rotate it as much as possible. But when we go back in August and September, hopefully we can get our heads down and start recording the album, so just need to find somewhere to do it. But we're, yeah, there's a few options, so...
Well, you guys recently worked with Paul Corkett.
Yes.
Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Would you mind explaining how it was to work with him? Would you like to get together with him again?
Actually, you contacted him.
Yeah. I contacted a couple of guys, actually. Paul Corkett was one of them. He did some stuff with Muse and Radiohead and things like that. So I sent him an EP of some of our songs, and he really wanted to work on a song called Tiny Daggers, but we felt that it wasn't sort of right to put that out yet. And we sort of did we bully him into the secret, or did we come to that arrangement? I can't remember.
We bullied him into
doing the secret with us, and he's a really cool guy. I mean, we'd sort of done stuff before at Par Street, where, you know, that's where Coldplay did Parachutes and all that, and it's a really big posh studio, Par Street, although Liverpool's a good night out, and it was just a little bit scary there. You couldn't really put a glass of water down or something without going over all the stuff. But Paul Corkett, where was that place called in Bath?
Moles
Studio. That's just really sort of vintage, cool place with lots of sofas. You can just sort of, a lot more laid back, wasn't it? You could be, you know, we had longer there as well because it wasn't such a state-of-the-art place. So we had more time to, the pressure wasn't as great. The first place where we did Fallen, it was like you had to go in, you had one take, one guitar, one vocals. You know, this is expensive, hurry up, get on with it. But Moles, it was a lot more laid back, and he was a lot of a more laid-back guy, wasn't he? He was really cool.
He'd worked with bands that we respected, Muse, Radiohead, The Cure. So we kind of knew he was going to get pretty much where we wanted the sound to be, because we wanted the secret to have quite a kind of classic British guitar sound, because it is quite guitar driven, so we wanted it to have that trademark British guitar sound to it, and he did do that for us. And the second part of the question is, will we work with him again? He has sort of expressed that he'd love to work on the album, but obviously we need to let it all get politics and labels, and depends who's paying for it as to who the producer is. So but we'd like to work with him again. Yeah. He's got a great set of ears, and we did a gig recently in Bath, and he came to the show, and he was giving us lots of advice and just telling us to keep doing what we're doing, really.
Can you just tell us about the name of your band, Vibgaio? Please? Please?
Should I say what it is, really?
No.
Okay. In Russia... No. what we did for the first year, we just made complete lies up about it, because, like, we just thought we didn't want to give it away because it might sound a bit stupid. But what it is, we spent about 3 months trying to get a band name, and we wanted something different. And we were trying to get, you know, it was like the something, and we had some horrible name. We were like Day One for a week or something, and then we were called The Sixth Man, and all these really stupid names. Yeah, we were, and we couldn't think of something. And then was it Zane came up with the idea or something? Well, we were sort of listening to a lot of Sigur Rós, and we liked the way that just, it was a weird name, we didn't even know what it meant and all that kind of thing. And Zane said Vibgaio. So we were like, what is it? And what it is, it's the colours of the rainbow backwards.
Oh.
Da-dang, da-dang, ka-ching! But we thought, if we tell everyone that, it sounds like we're into, like, rainbows and all that, you know, and
Mary
pixies
Poppins
and unicorns and all that. I don't know. Well, you know, so, you know, we've told people it's a mountain range in Machu Picchu, and yeah, and people are like, oh, yeah, I think I've heard of that, and, you know.
It's an ongoing joke, and I'm something different every time.
Yeah.
My latest one is that, this is kind of true, that we named after the leads in our studio, because, you know, we've got the coloured leads in the studio,
yeah.
So I'm using that one at the moment. So
that actually sounds a lot cooler. We might have to use that.
That's the correct answer.
That's the answer.
Yeah. It's the leads in the studio.
Yeah. Edit.
Also, your artwork is very distinctive on the website and on the EPs. Who's responsible for that?
I do everything. No, I don't. I'd love to. No, it's a guy, Colin Marks. I've never actually met him, and it runs with the theme of Vibgaio, because we met him on the internet. I was actually just looking around at bands on MySpace and saw this really cool bit of artwork for this band, and got in touch with him and said, you've got to do our stuff. And luckily he liked the music, and he's kind of been working with us ever since. He does all our promo, CDs, singles and posters and things. But as I say, I've never met him yet, so it's just another internet relationship. But yeah, he's great. He's a really cool artist. I think his website's like Rain Song.com. com. So you should check that out because he's got some really, really cool stuff on there.
Well, I was just wondering, I like speaking in a British accent sometimes, although I know I do it poorly. So just one. No, I'm not going to do it now.
Go on.
No.
You want us to speak in an American accent, don't you?
I do. I want to.
You've got to speak in an English accent.
Well, what am I supposed to say? Chip, chip, cheerio.
My God, where are you from? Manchester.
Well, yes.
Well, talking of accents, we've been mucking about with transfer, and they do two accents. They either do the Cockney, which is "all right, mate," and all that kind of geezer and all that, or they do the "would you like a cup of tea" or "tally-ho" and all that. And what do? We sort of do dude, or "oh my God, we went to the mall and just hang out, and it was like, oh my God." And we do, was it, "come on here, dipshit, get out of Cockney," a sort of a southern yarl and all that. That's probably it. Dipshit.
There we are. How's that?
That was great.
You talked about some bands that you do respect earlier, just when we were talking about how you were produced this last record. Yeah. Who overall has influenced you, though? If it's whether they're British artists or American artists, otherwise.
We've all got different influences. I mean, I would say three people would be Jeff Buckley, Radiohead, obviously, and probably someone like Arcade Fire. Arcade Fire at the moment are, without doubt, my favourite band. But then you like Flaming Lips, and I'll let you speak for yourself who you like.
Yeah, I like Flaming Lips and Elbow, and I'd say also maybe...
Elbow, yeah, I forgot. And Elbow for me.
And maybe U2, but only Joshua Tree.
Yeah, Joshua Tree, U2. But then there's bands, I mean, I do like Coldplay and things like that, and but they're just not my favourite bands, and they get a lot of bad press, don't they?
Bad press, but they are a great band.
They're good.
Take away the fact that he's like an uber star now.
Yeah,
they are a good band, but no one ever admits it.
But to be honest, we have so many different influences, don't we? As a band, we between us, and there must be like 40 bands that all five of us like, and then it goes off in directions. I mean, Dan, the bass player, he's into like stuff like the Deftones and all this. He even goes a bit emo, doesn't he, sometimes on us?
He's our little emo kid.
Yeah, and then Zane likes all his classical music. He's a sort of a classically trained pianist, and he listens to stuff like that. So there's bits of everything, isn't there, in the mix? And now over to Johnny.
But. Just in terms of bands we would want to emulate, really bands that have done it the right way. So bands that have kind of not done what the industry have told them, or like, who would have guessed that Arcade Fire would just break through and be as huge as they are, because they're kind of a little bit odd looking and they don't write radio singles and they've done it all themselves. So that's probably the one thing that we take, is we want to
try and... Radiohead did as well.
Yeah, and Radiohead did that too, to a certain degree. So, yeah, in terms of bands that we would try and follow a career path of a certain band, it would definitely be just bands that have done it the way that they wanted to do it, and not kind of lost sight of why they joined a band in the first place. Because it's quite easy once you start, if you get a little bit of sunshine blown up your arse, it's quite easy to forget why you're doing it in the first place. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll write 10 radio singles, and then you end up with an album that you don't like. So we're kind of just trying to stay focused on that and do it for us. And if we love it, everybody else will get it eventually.
So then who does the writing?
We all do. I mean, I might come in with an acoustic song, or Zay might have a riff or something on a piano or keys, or you might have a sort of a drum loop or something like that. But it's all of us, really. There's no sort of egos in the band. You know, someone won't come and say, "I wrote that, so it's my, I want 30% of that royalties," or something like that. It's just, it's a five-way thing. Because, if I came in with a sort of a half-finished song, it wouldn't have ever got anywhere unless Johnny put down one of his magic drums or something. So, it's all of us, isn't it?
Yes.
We're a democracy, and that's hopefully going to help us in the long run.
What was the first album that you bought?
Oh my God! It was. Now that's what I call.
You're going to change it, aren't you?
No, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's now that's what I call music. Do you have that over here? Do you have that? Number one?
I did for the longest time, but then all
yeah.
5 years ago it broke on.
The first one, and it had something like Phil Collins Against the Lodge on it, or something. I can't remember. Something really cheesy. But I can edit that out and say, "Oh, it's the Clash, yeah, London Calling." Yeah. No, it wasn't. I wasn't very cool. I didn't really. When I was sort of started growing up, I was listening to like cheesy rock, like Bon Jovi and things like that. And then I think it was Jane's Addiction that took me in a certain direction, and perhaps Pearl Jam and grunge sort of took me into another direction. And then Jeff Buckley probably took me into it, and Radiohead took me into another direction. So I wish I could have been cooler when I was younger, but I wasn't.
I wasn't cool.
No, you had the Middlesbrough FC football album or something, didn't you?
It was worse. I had I bought two albums on the same day, and I remember them both. New Kids on the Block.
No way!
and Lisa Stansfield.
You are such a dweeb.
Yeah, but I was like seven or something, and nobody has musical taste at seven, do they really? But the first proper album I bought was Pearl Jam 10. That was the album that kind of changed my... I went from listening to what my older brother did to actually listening to what I wanted to, so... God.
How embarrassing is that?
That is on tape.
You've never told me that before.
Wow. Do you remember any of the songs on the New Kids on the Block
album? I'm not even going there.
Hanging Tough,
I
exactly.
Remember that.
Yeah. I remember being around the world, That's the Lisa Stansfield song, obviously. Yeah. She can't
you
find a baby.
You've got a poster of how many of New Kids on the Block on your door, so what's all that about?
Yeah, fuck off.
Who was your favourite New Kid, now that we're on the subject?
Well, you said, I don't even know who they were.
Jordan.
Great. Without doubt, he's gorgeous.
And do you remember the first concert that you went to?
Oh no! Actually, no. The first one I went to was Genesis, which isn't too bad because I won tickets. I won tickets to Wembley Stadium. So I had a junior, like a if you're under 16 or something, you had like a NatWest bank account, and they had a competition, and they gave away like 10,000 tickets, and I won one to see Genesis. But after that, it was to Pau, which was just devastating. I mean, I lived in Devon, so there was no bands ever came through Devon, and I think to Pau came through town, and the whole of Torquay went completely insane, and everyone went to see Tapao.
New
Kids on the Block.
No, I was I was raised like quite a strict Catholic, so I was never allowed at gigs. That is the honest answer. But when I went to university, I went to my first show, and it was Manson at the Cockpit in Leeds. And so yeah, that's it. So I get brownie points for the buying New Kids on the Block as my first album. So I've got some ground back.
Okay, so I always ask everyone three stock questions at the end of the interview. So are there any slang terms that you guys overuse?
Any slang terms? That's a one to think about. What do we say?
Here's an example.
We probably have words that we say in the band, like our own little words, don't we? But it's not really slang. I can't think of something. Off the top of my head, I can't think of something. Oh, top one? I don't know. No, I can't. I can't think of anything.
We only use the Queen's English.
Yeah. So no. No. Only the Queen's English for us.
What's your drink of choice?
If I'm going to get smashed, I'd probably go to the Jack Daniels and Coke. But if I'm just having a few drinks, probably some nice beer. I quite like the Sierra Nevada beer over here. The guys introduced us to that, and that's pretty kicking. So at the moment, that's my drink, followed by a bit of Jack Daniels.
My American drink of choice is Jaeger Bombs. I haven't been choosing them. They've just been getting thrown down my throat. So
Yeah. People keep buying us these Jaeger bombs,
well,
and they're just...
I'd normally drink like a proper bitter or something. My dad raised me well.
All right, and how do you guys feel about eyeliner?
Oh yeah, we rock the eyeliner. I haven't got any on tonight.
A couple of the band wear eyeliner. I personally don't, because I look like a drag queen or something when I put it on. Well, in fact, I've never put it on, but there's a couple of guys in the band that do wear it. And if it highlights their features, why not? Well, do you wear it? You never wear it, do you?
I wear it occasionally.
You normally make lipstick and high heels, and but that's at home, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, God.
All right, great. Well, since we're pirate pods, we'd like to ask our artists or musicians or whatever if they can do their best pirate impression for us. So let's end the interview with your best one there.
God. Ahoy there, me mateys. You're listening to Pirate Pods. Oh, it's pieces of eight. It's lovely.
Can't top that. That's it. That's it. That's
go
it.
On.
The end. No, it's good.
Hey, man. You're listening to podcasts.
Honestly, just go with it.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
No problems. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for watching.